And now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
It turns the brains into guacamole.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Welcome back. This is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, positive talk radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara counties. Every show has a theme, and today's theme is deeper understanding. Each of my guests is giving us a deeper understanding of his or her subject, whether it's corruption in college football, the actor Steve McQueen, or world travel. My next guest is a travel writer and consultant who harkens back to the golden age of travel. She describes her world adventure of traveling between several continents without flying on an airplane. And if you want to join in the conversation, or if you want to ask a travel-related question, you can call us at 639-0008. Sherry Laskin has been in love with cruising for over the last four decades. As a very small child, she crossed the Pacific with her parents from Los Angeles to Honolulu aboard the 18,000-ton SS Mastonia. Today, Sherry spends at least 2 months of every year at sea reviewing and experiencing as many cruise lines and their ships as possible. As a freelance travel writer, a blogger, a photographer, Sherry's articles and photos have appeared in many travel industry publications. Considered a cruise and travel expert, Sherry has been quoted in a number of different publications, too many to name here. Sherry has an interest in regional food and wine, and when there's a culinary class en route, you'll probably find Sherry there cooking, tasting, and shooting some photos and videos as well. She's a committed non-flyer since 1994, and she has traversed much of the world without setting foot on an airplane. Sherry's a member of the Society of Professional Journalists and the International Food, Wine, and Travel Writers Association. Welcome to the show, Sherry. How are you today?
Hi, Bill. I'm fine. Thanks so much for inviting me to be here today. This will be fun.
What a pleasure. And I'm so fascinated that here you are a travel writer, a travel consultant, and you don't like to go on airplanes. So I got to ask you, what was the traumatic event in 1994 that turned you away from air travel?
You know, that's the funny thing. There wasn't anything traumatic. I just decided one day, okay, I've been, knock on wood, I've been lucky, and I just don't want to fly anymore. So the last flight I took was with my family. Children were small, and I didn't want them to be spooked by my not wanting to ever fly. So we all took a flight from Detroit down to Orlando. It was a picture-perfect flight. I took the train home. That was it. I was done.
And what is it? Is it the fear of falling out of the sky? Is it the fear of being in an enclosed space? What is it that turned you off about flying?
Yes, and probably three other options. I just decided that, the idea of falling is not thrilling to me. You know, I don't like that. And, I was fine until someone said to me, I had no fear. They said, you know, the worst part of flying is the takeoff and the landing. And I thought, but that's the part I like best. I didn't like being in the air. So that was my segment that I didn't want to do. But I loved the landing and takeoff. So, you know, by that time, everything was squashed. So I said, no.
Well, if it's any consolation, even today with automatic pilot, you can now take off an airplane and land an airplane in good weather without the pilot actually doing anything. So it is much safer. But, Sherry, let's get back to this, because you're a travel writer. I mean, in what ways does not flying impact your job as a travel writer?
Well, it is funny because actually it impacts it in a positive way because it gives me more to write about. I can't get there as quickly if there's a trip that I want to take, if someone invites me on. Unless I can get there with train or another ship, then I have to say, you know, I'm so sorry, I can't make it. But basically, it's more food for fodder.
More food for fodder, and certainly more time to write while you're on one of these trips.
That's for sure.
Now, you use ship travel, you use train travel as your main modes of transportation. And on the surface, that sounds kind of glamorous because it goes back to the golden age of trains, the golden age of cruise ships and that kind of stuff. But is ship and train travel as glamorous as it once was when rail and ship was the only way that you could travel?
I think, in a sense, it does still have the old glamour to it. However, it's also, the glamour is now punctuated by massive crowds, delays, hauling your own baggage. In the old days, I think you could just stand there and someone would take your bags for you. And especially in Europe, there's no one. I'm so spoiled with Amtrak here. You know, the red caps will help you. In Europe, you're on your own. And the platforms, in case anyone's traveling by train in Europe, there's a gap between the platform and boarding the train. So you can't just roll your luggage across.
That's right.
Call it.
That's right. You do. These are old trains as well. My guest is Sherry Laskin. We're talking about travel. And Sherry, your most recent trip is what actually prompted me to bring you on the show. I mean, it's a fascinating. You went 3,000 miles on the Danube, the Main, and the Rhine rivers from Bulgaria all the way to Amsterdam. And, you know, you were on a cruise. You had to cross the Atlantic to get over to Europe in the first place. So tell us about your trip. What were some of the highlights of that trip?
It was an amazing trip. In fact, you know, for many years I would just go out. I live on the east coast of Florida, and I would just go down to the ocean and look across, and I'd say, Africa's over there. Someday I'm just going to take a ship and go straight across to Africa. And that was part of this 3,000-mile trip that I took on the rivers. First I went to London. I crossed over from New York to London on the Queen Mary, and then train, got down to Marseille, picked up a Mediterranean cruise, and went straight to Tunisia, which to me, I don't care if it's North Africa, East, West, or South, it was the continent of Africa. So that to me was so exciting. And we got to go to a prayer house and have mint tea. Now I'm hooked on mint tea. And then coming back from there, it was another train. And then the non-glamorous part was the train that I had to take from Paris to Munich, which wasn't too bad. These were overnight trains. And then I had to go from Vienna to Bucharest. And that train was not glamorous in the least, but we made it safely. And there are different trains that you can check out. And I thought I was pretty savvy, and I knew what train I wanted to be on because I assumed there'd be a dining car. But all we really received was a little paper bag with a very thin washcloth, a bar of soap, and prepackaged cup of water.
Oh, my. It doesn't sound glamorous at all. But, Sherry, I want to hit the pause button and go back because your transatlantic crossing intrigues me now that you mentioned you went over on the Queen Mary, too.
Yes.
That's a relatively new ship. Obviously, the reincarnation of the original Queen Mary that sits in Long Beach Harbor. So my question to you, how glamorous is the new Queen Mary, too?
I am, well, I hate to say it, but I really, you know, I started out thinking, it's just a glorified carnival ship, and, you know, the Brits don't clobber me for saying that, but the ship has grown on me, and I think the Queen Mary II has become just an iconic throwback to what the closest we could get would be the golden age of ship travel, transatlantic travel. And there's changes happening. You know, there's cost-cutting everywhere. But for the most part, it's you spend 7 days getting there, and in 7 days, there's still not enough time to do everything you would like to do.
Wow, that is an incredible testament. My guest is Sherry Laskin. Now, Sherry, what were some of the highlights of this trip? I mean, I'm just going to shotgun some things at you. Highlight in food, highlight in sightseeing, in creature comforts, just overall experiences. What stands out in your mind?
Oh, my gosh. I think one of the highlights of this trip was a visit to, and I'm going to pronounce it correctly, Viminacium. And what? Viminacium is a fairly new archaeological dig in, oh, my gosh, I want to say, oh, I hope I don't get it wrong. I want to say it's in Serbia, but it's an old Roman army camp. And they just started excavating. And so you take a little bus from your river cruise over there, and people are dressed in costume like Roman togas and things like that. And they, I mean, there's a burial there. It's an amazing experience because it's not like, it's in the middle of nowhere, absolutely the middle of nowhere. You see these huge white tents where they're setting up their all the planks that they walk across so they don't crush anything. It's just it's very, very cool.
All right, Viminacium. What was the best food experience that you had? You're a foodie.
I'm a foodie. Oh, gosh. Well, one thing that I'll always remember is having lunch with a Croatian family in their home. And again, the bus picks us up, picks you up when you debark your river cruise, I think, in one of these small little towns on the lower Danube, and takes you to a family's home. There's about eight people that go in these groups, and AMA Waterways, they do a great job with this. And they welcome you to their home. All these little homes, they're about, oh, gosh, maybe 20 feet wide, and 150 feet deep, so there's narrow little lots, and in the back they have their little vegetable garden. They have chickens and rabbits and all sorts of critters running around. You know you're eating one of them. But, I mean, they welcomed us. They made their own wine. They made everything, and it was just, it was fascinating. And you see how other people live and how they really live off their off the soil.
That's an amazing. So that was all set up through the cruise line that you used. Now, a question for you, Sherry, is this. How important is it to have a good travel agent to arrange all these details as you do some of this off-the-beaten-path type of travel that you're talking about?
I think for something like this, you need to have an experienced travel agent who's been to Europe, been on a river cruise, but you also have to do your own due diligence and really research. I mean, I've been in this industry for 20 years, and I still made a mistake with my trains. So, you know, you can't be too careful to get, it's like dominoes. I describe it as dominoes. And if one doesn't collapse on the other, you're going to be standing at a train station in somewhere where you don't know where in the world you are.
And you can't read the signs to find out where you need to go.
Sometimes you can't. Sometimes they don't have signs. And sometimes elevators are broken. So travel light is another bit of advice.
Always a good bit of advice. My guest is Sherry Laskin. We're talking about her latest trip where she traveled without setting foot on an airplane. Now, continuing on with this whole idea of travel agents, we've got a good travel agent here in town. Santa Barbara Travel, they're very skilled. They're with extraordinary experiences like the ones that you're going through. There's a location here in Ventura on Telegraph Road, and there's one in Santa Barbara on State Street. Do you use a travel agent when you do it, or are you pretty much booking this all by yourself?
Well, I've been in the business for, like I said, a long time, so I do it all on my own.
Okay, and then that's fair. But for those of us who are less skilled, we might want to employ a travel agent like that.
Well, I started as a travel agent when I first got into the cruise business, so I have my feet wet. Hopefully not from the water, but
right. That's probably not a good expression on a ship. My feet are wet.
That's right. No, you don't want to do that. No, and there's so many. Well, we'll digress, but there's so many maritime expressions that have permeated into our language. It's just amazing.
There are. There's no doubt about that. I want to talk a little bit about your career, though, because it's an interesting life. I mean, you started cruising 40 years ago. When did you first realize that you can make a living being a travel writer and as you put it, you're a cruise maven?
You can do what? actually, I started, I hate to even admit it, 50 years ago, believe it or not. And it's, you know what, it's making a career out of being a travel writer takes a lot of, you have to save up, I think, so that you can coast for some of it until things start to click. You have to invest in yourself, basically, until you get those offers to review this or check out this venue here or there. But it's not easy, and I know we all do it because we love it. And you have to have some grasp of the English language.
Clearly, because you're writing.
Yeah,
all right.
You do.
What advice, Sherry, would you have for somebody who might be considering a career as a travel writer based on all of your experience?
Well, it's funny because, you know, I'll be sitting at dinner on a ship, and they, what do you do? I'm a travel writer. And the first thing they'll say is, I travel all the time. I should be a writer. And I'm like, okay, well, that's great and all, but, you know, are you willing to do this on your own? Are you willing to sacrifice and invest in yourself? And you really have to, just because you've been on 20 or 30 cruises or you've traversed the world on an airplane does not a travel writer make. So, you know, take a writing class. Buy books. I mean, I looked at, I've got a selection of, there's 15-year-old How to Be a Travel Writer books, and I buy National Geographic, and there's online classes to take. So if you're really serious about it, invest in yourself. That's the number one thing to do.
My guest is Sherry Laskin. She's known as the cruise maven. And Sherry, shipboard travel is just skyrocketed. I mean, there are so many cruise lines right now. They're building these mega ships that hold between 3,000 and 5,000 people. They've got these onboard shopping malls. You can go rock climbing. You can go surfing. You can even go ice skating while you're out there cruising. What's the appeal of cruising that has sort of catapulted it in popularity?
Well, I think we can all remember the Love Boat, right?
Yes.
And I think that had the biggest influence on starting the whole cruise industry. That and Ted Arison that started Carnival Cruise Line back in the early 70s, if I'm not mistaken. That was just the foundation. You know, the inspiration was the Love Boat, and then he started that, and it's just skyrocketed, like you said. But really, statistically, the Cruise Line International Association has said about 18 to 20% of the public has taken a cruise vacation. So that leaves, you know, close to 80% still that have not set foot on a ship.
Yeah, that is a relatively small number. There's so many different cruise lines that are out there, Sherry. I mean, help differentiate some of them for us. You mentioned Carnival. That's obviously a big cruise line. You mentioned AMA Waterways, which is a river cruise line. Just how many different cruise lines are there out there? And tell us about some of these smaller cruise lines that you prefer.
Sure. Well, just getting ready for this interview, I counted up the amount of cruise lines that I have on Twitter. And I came up with 48 cruise lines that have a Twitter presence.
Wow.
And that's mostly North American cruise lines. Some, of course, are in Europe. But cruise lines basically break down into, now I would say, four categories. You have your mass market or contemporary, as they like to be called now. Do you want me to go into detail?
Well, we don't have time to go into excruciating detail, but we've got contemporary.
Excruciating. Contemporary, then you've got your premium, and then you could go premium / luxury a little bit, and then you have your luxury. Of course, expedition ships, you know, you can count on one hand, and that's really a very, very niche market, as are river cruises. There's about five main river cruise lines that service North American clients.
All right. Well, that's good to know. My guest is Sherry Laskin. We're talking about cruising, and actually we're talking about her unusual lifestyle where she is a travel writer without stepping on an airplane. So, Sherry, if people are intrigued by what they hear, they want to learn more about you, they maybe learn more about your writings, where would you direct them to go on the Internet?
Oh, well, thank you. They can go to cruisemaven.com.
And spell that Cruise Maven, M-A-V-E-N .com.
Definitely.
And there, that gives you the background on who you are and some of the services that you offer?
Absolutely. Well, mostly it's just advice, and they can follow my adventures, see what's going on in the world of cruising. A lot of cruise news I'll post on that. And a little bit about me.
Oh, that is great. Sherry, thank you so much for being my special guest here on Brainstorming with Billy the Brain. We'll talk to you down the road.
Thanks, Bill.
Thank you.